All right. I'm going to ask James to come on up and read the scriptures for us tonight. Come on up here, James.
You need to go around with the microphone.
See if we can get this hot. Is this very nice? But in your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34. He's going to read from the English Standard Version. I'm probably going to preach from the New King James. Sorry about that. Okay. Just because that's what I prepared, but... They're both good translations, and it's kind of nice to have a few.
Let me know when you're ready.
Let me find it first. I'm the last one to find it, of course. Mark 5, 21 to 34. Okay, I'm ready.
You had that, Abby?
All right. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a giant crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him immediately, and immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Good job.
Thank you, James. Love you. Wow.
Okay. This is the word of God. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask you to open our hearts to it tonight as we look into this beautiful passage of this woman. And we ask you, Lord God, let us receive what your word wants to tell us tonight. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I love this story. I got an opportunity to preach it in Mongolia in a beautiful little church that gathers in a ger. You've heard me talking about these round homes. They look kind of like Navajo hogans. And people live in those things. Well, one church decided just to get a big size ger and start a church. And so we went door to door, or ger to ger, inviting people to come. And that night we invited them, come listen to the story about the woman that no one could help. No one in the whole world could help her. And so we had an amazing crowd that night when we got done with the door-to-door work. They showed up at that little ger church, and I got to preach this sermon. And I loved it so much, I can't get it out of my mind. And I told myself after I preached it that day that I was going to come home and preach it here at the church too whenever I had a chance. So here I am. And it's quite a story. What I love about this story is the indiscriminate love of God. A synagogue ruler named Jairus. The name sounds noble. His position is lofty. He's falling down before Christ on his knees, begging for his daughter's life. And Jesus is going to go raise that little girl from the dead. At the same time, he comes across a nameless, lonely, desolate person. We don't know her name. She has no attachment whatsoever. Where's her husband? Don't even know. But Jesus is going to rescue her. Indiscriminate love of God. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves you. The story just has that theme right at, on the face of it before we even look into it. But we won't be focusing on Jairus and the synagogue ruler tonight, but men, don't tune the story out, because this girl's story is full of truth for you just as well. She was in danger. She was weary. She was broken. She was alone. I wonder if that describes anybody here tonight. Well, if it does, you've come to the right place. You're going to see a wonderful thing happen to this woman. She was in danger. That issue of blood was some kind of postnatal condition. We're familiar with it. To these days, a simple process called a DNC would probably have solved that thing. But sometimes after having the baby safely delivered, the placenta doesn't completely come out of the uterus, and it stays up there and keeps trying to supply blood to a baby that's not there anymore. And it's a quick fix for people in the know, but we're talking about these days, those days back then. Apparently they had no cure for it. Or it might have been something else. We don't know. It could have been a tumor of some kind, perhaps. Something like that. But 12 years, she was weary. She was weary. The danger was she might die of anemia. The weariness was, this is 12 years long. She was broken. She was an outcast. Read Leviticus 15, the chapter dealing with the menstruation cycle and the hygienic practices of handling that well. It's perfectly fine, but can you imagine having to endure that cycle for 12 years without end? When a woman was in that state, she was not allowed to interact with people. She was supposed to keep herself at home and to take care and get over it. 12 long years. She wasn't allowed to touch people. She shouldn't have been in that crowd. She shouldn't be touching Jesus. Wow. Broken woman. And alone. So alone. I wonder where her husband was. My guess is somewhere down along the line of the 12 years, he took the child that was born and took off. Probably had a karma mentality like many of the people of the world have today. You know, somebody gets sick, there must have been something wrong with her. She must have done something wrong to be so afflicted. That is a doctrine out of hell, friends. But in the midst of all this, there is this marvelous turning point in the story. What is a turning point? You know? Can you identify the turning point in this story? I'd like to ask any of you to think it over. Where's the turning point in the story? Her faith? Maybe. A turning point is a point right at which everything suddenly is changing. It's an instantaneous moment when something happens, and her faith is, I'm not sure when that happened yet. Pardon? When she touched the robe? I think it was a little earlier than that. You see, this was a dire situation. This woman was in dire need. And there's a point in which suddenly there's hope. Just like that, there's hope. But, I mean, it was wonderful that she touched the robe, but I think it was a little earlier. Anybody see it? Got it. When she heard about Jesus. That is the turning point. The negative conjunction in the Bible, always look at it. Always take it as something big. It's almost always the case. She was in danger. She was hurting. She was lonely. She was broken. She'd spent everything she had. She went to physicians and they made her worse. There was no one in the whole world who could help this woman. But it says, when she heard about Jesus, that is the turning point, friends. That's why this church is here. So people will have this kind of turning point in their lives. I can just imagine what that was like when she heard about Jesus. Like, she's probably still sitting in her house where she belongs, and don't go outside, don't touch anything. Don't let anybody sit where you sat with this issue of blood and all of this stuff. This cursed life. I can just imagine her saying, what's all the commotion outside about? Like, haven't you heard? Jesus is coming to town. He's coming down from Galilee. Who's Jesus? Oh, you don't know about Jesus? People are getting healed. Blind people are opening their eyes. Lame people are jumping up and walking. And here this girl's sitting there going like, I'm going to find this man. I'm going to find this man. Praise God. Let me tell you something. If you hear about Jesus Christ, you're already starting to be blessed. Now the question is, what are you going to do about that? Follow this woman's model. She heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, what did she do? Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she'd had and was no better, but rather worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, because she said to herself, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I believe the Holy Spirit drove this woman out into that crowd against the laws of Leviticus, by the way. Kept herself incognito as best she could. But then she realized she couldn't get close enough to him. And so she has this determined attitude to get near him. But you know, with the crowd, battling the crowd, you know what it's like with a celebrity and a crowd. The closer you get to the celebrity, the thicker the crowd gets. And so maybe on the margins of the crowd, you can do pretty well. But as she gets closer and closer, she's not going to get there. She's not going to find him. And can you find a more moving, more endearing picture in all the Bible than this woman battling this crowd, pushing her way through, fighting to reach him? Let me tell you, that is a blessed person. That person is blessed. If only I might touch his clothes. How did she know that? How did she know to think like that? If maybe I can just touch his garment. This is the first time this appears in the New Testament, by the way. You'll hear about it with Paul later on and later with Jesus. But in the New Testament and all the Gospels, this was never mentioned before this woman. If I just touch his garment, she said, I believe the Holy Spirit of God gave her that knowledge. This woman, if I can conjecture for a moment, this woman, I believe, honestly, she tried to get to the crowd. It was too dense to get through. She literally got down on her hands and knees and crawled through the feet of these people. She figured out his trajectory and where he might end up, and she got there close enough to grab that garment. And that is one blessed woman. And I believe the Holy Spirit told her to do that. She got down and touched his garment because the Holy Spirit said, go touch him. Just grab the garment. That's all you need to do. This is a beautiful picture of what it really means to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, this is the living example of it. And this whisper that comes from the Holy Spirit, you touch his robe. Well, let's talk about Jesus. The story now focuses on him. The minute that girl reached out and touched him, he knew it. He knew it. She didn't even touch him. She grabbed the hem of his robe. It's a big, long, flowing robe. But do you think you could feel that? She didn't yank on it, as far as we know. He knew it. Jesus turned around in the crowd, verse 30. Well, let's read verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And he looked around. But his disciples said to him, "Lord, you see the multitude. The crowd is, you're thronged by a crowd. The whole crowd's been pushing on all of us." That's the idea. And you're asking, "Who touched you?" No. Somebody touched me. Yes, a whole crowd touched me, but somebody touched me. Let me tell you something. If you have the spiritual hunger to reach out and touch Christ any way you can, he's going to know. He's going to know about it. You won't be doing that alone. The Bible says that he is not far from every man. And if you have spiritual need tonight and you came here weary and troubled and worried about your life, you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You do any way you can. You reach out and grab the hem of his garment. He'll know it. He'll stop. He'll turn around. He turns around. "Somebody touched me." "Lord, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about?" No. He looks around and there she is, and he knows who it is. And she is trembling with fear. Why not? She's standing in the presence of the living God who just healed her. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. She's trembling when she meets him. The woman, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Praise God. Let me assure you tonight, you reach out and touch and he'll know it. He'll know you did that. He'll know it, and power will come from him. Listen, absolutely, power comes from this man. You need this power. This is what you need in your life. "I felt power come from me." That's why he came here. He came here with all the power of God to give it, put it to work in our lives here in this world. That's why he came to this world. That's why he died on the cross, that the power of the resurrection might be given to us as well. You need this power. You can reach out and grab it, and you will be greatly blessed. Verse 33 and 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And that's the end of our story. Daughter, go in peace. That's good. But she did go a little more noisily than that. Believe it or not, we know that because of Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Listen to what we find out in that chapter. Now we're going down from Galilee, and we're far away from that area, and a bit of time has come by. We're far away from where this happened anyway, and a bit of time has come by, the feeding of the 5,000 and things like that. But at the end of chapter 6, we read, "Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment." Wow. I wonder how they knew about that. I don't think she went quietly at all. She started spreading the word. And it wasn't more than the time taken to have one chapter of events take place. This people down in the distant villages and remote areas were saying the same thing. You touch his garment, you're going to be healed. Isn't that beautiful? She's already an evangelist. Bless her heart. Praise God. And then I think we can also assume, if you look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3, I don't think we should leave her out of the list of the women who followed Jesus and did things with their hands and donated from their own substance to support his ministry. And some of the names are mentioned, but I have a feeling this woman may have been one of them, following him now right to the cross. Those women who were the last to leave the scene of the cross, the first to arrive at the tomb the next day, the Sunday. This great story is the promise of a life changed through an encounter with Jesus Christ. We were at one of the Gears visiting in the town of Altenbugar, and we were sharing and inviting people to come to this church service, like I said. And we came to the house of one woman, and she had a friend. My translator was a friend of hers, and she had actually scheduled this visit separately, special. So we went to visit, and she translated, and I got to share my faith. And it was really a beautiful experience, and she was so eager. And the minute I started to suggest, you know, you can pray to receive, yes. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't, you know. When you do this evangelism, you kind of expect a little resistance. But she was so needy. She was like this woman. And wouldn't you know, I'd already planned this sermon for that night in that church, and here I am in the house of a woman just as needy as this one. Her name is Inchko, and she has 6 kids. One of them, a really sweet paraplegic daughter, just real sadly deformed, and just a beautiful girl. And her husband working down in the Gobi Desert, doing the mining. He doesn't come back. Comes back once a quarter. She's on her own. And we were there sharing our faith with her. We invited her to church. She prayed a really sweet prayer to receive Christ with me. We invited her to come to the church that night. You need to come and listen to our story. You know, we're going to tell a story tonight. Oh, I don't know if I can. I have to take care of my daughter. I got to change her diapers and all of these things. She was about 15 years old, the daughter. And I said, maybe one of the team workers, one of the girls can come and do that for you and let you come. And she stopped and she thought, said, you know, I think it's about time my oldest daughter learned to do this. I'm going to the meeting. And that night when I walked into the little Gare church, there was Inchko and two of her daughters with her. And she got someone else to take care of the hurting girl. And she listened to that sermon and prayed again that night with us. We had about 21 people pray to receive Christ that night because of this woman's testimony. Because of that faith that reached out and touched the hem of that garment. This is the power that you need in your life. Not just the power to change your life. It won't be long before you're changing other lives around you. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is what you need. I want to ask you to think about praying tonight with me. I'll lead you in a prayer tonight right here. And let's just bow our heads and do it, shall we? Father in heaven, I just want to ask your blessing upon everyone who listened tonight. If there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know you yet, may they put their trust in you. You can do this too. You can pray just like as we did over there in Mongolia. Lord God, rescue me. Can you pray that? You say that prayer too. Father, rescue me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to trust in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. You died on the cross for sinners, they say. Here I am, Lord. I'm one of them. Please rescue me, Lord. Save me. Reach out. Take it. There's power that comes from this man. Take it. Grab it. Seize it. Grab the hem of his garment. Put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you all. And may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you his perfect peace. Amen.